In other news, with spring starting earlier and warmer weather lingering deeper into the fall, the tick season is expanding. Wisconsin is already a hot spot for ticks in the U.S., second in the nation after some locations on the East Coast. And with the deer tick prevalent across the state, cases of Lyme disease are also on the rise, spiking already this month ahead of last year. And 2024 marked a record of nearly 2,500 Lyme disease cases in Wisconsin. Could that be surpassed this year? Researchers at Gunderson Medical Foundation are staying on top of the disease. Dr. Eric Sabin leads the research there, and he joins us now. Thanks for being here, doctor.
Happy to do it.
So how alarming is it that the tick population is growing and with it cases of Lyme disease?
Well, I think that it's not going away, and I think that as a disease in our region, I think we should get pretty comfortable with the idea that it's a threat that will probably become more common over time, especially when you figure in changes to weather and how often people are outside doing outdoor recreation. Seems like a thing that's going to be with us going into the future.
And so what should people do about that? I know that you have said that, you know, prevention is better than a cure. So what's the best prevention here?
Generally speaking, be aware that if you're going outside and you're going to be in a place where ticks might be, real simple things, wearing long sleeves, long pants, tucking your pants into your socks, wearing bright clothing so you can identify ticks when they get attached to you and remove them before they have a chance to attach to your body, and getting in the habit of making sure that you look for ticks that might be attached to your skin after you have been out in the woods or out in a place that there might be a lot of ticks. We know that if you remove these things from you before they've had a chance to attach for too long, the transmission risk of Lyme disease is very, very low or negligible. So we recommend people be very vigilant to that sort of thing before they, once they come back in from a recreational outing.
If you do contract Lyme disease, is there a cure for it?
There are exceptional treatments. We've been using antibiotics for a very, very long time. Yes, people can be cured. But it's a pretty serious illness in a lot of folks, and certainly has no limits on its ability to produce misery in those who get it. But yes, we can usually treat people very effectively, especially if we catch the disease early.
So what are some of the kind of worst symptoms of it?
The ones that patients have told me are the most disturbing are the ones that involve the joints. And I've had patients that have very significant problems with their mobility and very significant joint pain going into months. Sometimes almost a year. And for people who are otherwise real active or at a real active phase in their life, it can significantly disrupt their quality of life to a major degree.
So does it matter if it is diagnosed and treated early versus later?
The way that the disease operates is that it produces inflammatory reactions in the human body that have a tendency to progress, change, and worsen over the course of time if the infection is not treated. Generally speaking, it's better if you take care of it sooner rather than later. Lots of the cases don't get recognized until weeks or even months have elapsed, and at that point, the symptoms have oftentimes been much more dramatic. But generally speaking, it's a good idea to try to get antibiotic treatment for people very soon, and you have a tendency not to then progress into the real serious joint or cardiac or neurological complications after that.
How would you know that you had it early?
Well, there are certainly tests that we can use. A lot of things in medicine depend on clinical context. And so it starts with somebody seeking care and bringing up the idea that they may have been outside or may have had tick bites or may have been exposed to ticks. And then it relies on the part of the healthcare provider to recognize that it's in our area and it has a pretty diverse array of presentations. So you combine, you know, the right place at the right time kind of risk factor profile with the person presenting with the right features of the illness. And at that instance, you know, you take action. You can give people treatment. A lot of times you can prevent things from getting much worse.
So has research developed good tests to diagnose Lyme disease?
I'm biased. I think that the testing can work and can be effective in some circumstances, but it has a lot of limits by virtue of how it works. Most of the present testing is based on immunological reactions. Through a process we call serology. And there are pros and cons to that. Those tests have advantages in that they can show us immunological reactivity and recognition, but they also can be very difficult to interpret. They don't behave, so to speak, the way that a lot of other serological tests do, because it's a strange disease. And we don't really have tests that I think are colloquially as well understood as something like a pregnancy test. You know, a pregnancy test doesn't leave much doubt about what the result means. The problem with Lyme disease testing in current use is that it's just simply not that straightforward in a lot of cases. It can be ambiguous.
And so in that instance, if the results are ambiguous, should a patient ask to be treated anyway?
I would suggest that any patient have an individual discussion with their provider and make some decision making on what makes sense for the risk benefit, pros and cons, you know, scenario. You should always be forthright with your doctors about what, you know, you think is going on, and healthcare practitioners should be attentive and mindful of what patients might have experienced. In medical school, they told me you can't diagnose what you don't think of. And a lot of times things that are not being considered are diagnoses that can get missed or delayed. So in this region, on the part of patients, know that it's out there. And on the part of practitioners, know that it's a thing that people can walk into the office with. And if the circumstances make sense and favor treatment, go ahead and do it. Give it a try.
I know that your lab helped develop the first Lyme disease vaccine for dogs. How far are we from a vaccine for humans?
There have been vaccines for humans. The original Lymerix vaccine was offered for a while and then taken off the market. There have been other attempts at developing similar vaccines. There are pros and cons to the different vaccine strategies being used, both in animals and in humans. Our hope and our work is trying to find a effective protective vaccination that can be used in humans that would function in more or less the same sort of way as a vaccine that a person might get one time or even perhaps once a season, and then provide protection going into the whole rest of that year or that season. Some progress has been made on that, lots of dead ends. It's a hard area of work.
Well, thank you for doing that work. Dr. Sabin, thanks for joining us.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Sure. Yeah.
Good luck with that garlic mustard.
Yeah, it's a mess. They told me get goats, and goats wreck things. Pigs are easier to fence in, I think.
How many pigs do you have?
We have four now, probably piglets in the next 2 weeks. We might have as many as another 8 or 10. It really depends. They're short. They're small pigs. They're hair pigs called coonies. Coonie pigs. They're delicious. They're actually not raised.